to get her whiny little ass out of the picture for a bit.
Whiny, tattooed, sweaty ass.
Yes, a stinky garbage ass.
Sci-Fi Cast with Ged Mayhew, Jen Segrest, and me, Dave Kalo. Episode 4. It seems that Chief was led to believe that Callie committed suicide.
Yep.
Yeah, so now we know what Adama was telling him at the end of last week.
I think the whole scene with Chief and Adama in the bar was awesome.
I'm not sure what, if it was Chief turning on, but I thought the, you know, you don't know what club I'm in because you've never asked the right questions. I'm like, oh God, why don't you just tell him already?
I really did think he was going to tell him. There was like a part of me that was thinking, oh, he's just going to blurt it out right here in the bar. The whole shit's going to know.
When he was in the middle of his rant?
Yeah, right in the middle of his rant. I really thought he was going to, but he didn't. Corey suggested, he's like a big BSG fan, but he was saying, he text messaged me, he's like, for the podcast, mentioned that now both Ty and the Chief have had visions that pertain to Adama. Because Ty had the one in the CIC where he shot Adama in the eye. That was a vision.
Yeah.
And now Chief has had a vision of, you know, the commander saying that your wife was a Cylon. So for conspiracy theories out there, that could be very bad.
So how about Chief in Racetrack's ship? Was it a conscious or unconscious act to sabotage the ship, or did he just make an honest mistake?
I think it's unconscious. It looks like he was, you know, pretty well, you know, he was thinking about Callie and everything. I just don't think he was just really with it at the time.
But the problem is that they're all going to start second-guessing themselves. Well, not Tori. She's taken to being a Cylon like a duck to a water.
Yeah, she likes the Kool-Aid.
She totally does. And I love that little thing, like, we're supposed to be stronger, right? Yeah, he only punched Callie 20 feet. You know, stronger.
Uh-huh. It just seemed like Chief and Ty were both trying to escape pain that's in their lives. In the scene where Racetrack crash landed back on the ship and she was okay, Chief realized that it was his fault. He said to the group, "Tell me that I fracked up. Just someone tell me that I fracked up." And I thought that was great because he was just trying to seek for confirmation that
he was human.
Do this intentionally. This was an honest mistake. Someone please tell me this was an honest mistake.
I mean, just let me say for a second that I thought I had lost the who's going to die next thing we had going, because I really thought Racetrack and that other guy was dead.
I did too.
And they crashed. I mean, the whole cockpit was crushed, you know, and then somehow in the next scene, they're like standing on the deck, like nothing's wrong. You know, I'm like, what the heck happened there? They like had like
same thing.
Super BSG styrofoam in the cockpit or something, or what?
I think there was great acting all around in this episode. Chief was so believable with his rant, I thought, and Adama seemed just genuinely furious with him in the bar.
Even
Katie Sackhoff was fantastic because she didn't say a word.
That was the best part. And
next week, boys, next week.
We get a whole episode without Kara. Woohoo!
Yeah, I chose save until I delete on my TiVo for this episode.
That's right, baby. You know, they hadn't thrown that in that little throwaway scene of her sleeping with the sweaty shoulder there at the end. It would have been just about perfect.
Why is it so hot in the ship? Everyone's sweaty. Yeah. I guess it is a garbage trowel, so who really cares, right?
The whole thing with Caprica and Saul. For a while there, I thought she could. I thought she knew, but I don't think she did. When she first says, "Don't you think I can feel it?" Because she had said she could feel the other Cylons, how they were close.
That's why she said she made the mistake there at the end.
Yeah.
I think she doesn't know that he's one.
And it was really fun the way their dialogue was non-committal. It could have been interpreted either way until really the final scene between them. It was also fun to learn that Saul's apparently visiting her daily for no good reason. Sort of showing up in her cell.
That line she had, like, is this a face I have to get used to when I wake up or something? That was great.
Yeah. Just like Chief trying to seek redemption from the crew and everyone else on the deck at that moment, he's trying to find a way, now that I'm a Cylon, is there a way for me to switch off the guilt and the remorse I feel over Ellen?
Yep.
Yeah. And so he's projecting too in his own way. He's sort of got his own Six in his own way now.
Yeah, because Six looks like Ellen now.
They did a really good job of, in this one, of setting up little vignettes and going back and forth between them. I kept wanting to go back to Saul and Six, but then I wanted to see more of Rosalind and Adama, and you know, and even the Gaia stuff was pretty compelling this time around.
Oh God, yeah, I think he actually believes his own bullshit now. Okay. Yeah, I think he definitely does. And when, I mean, did you see the part when they beat him on the head? They beat him, and they push him to the ground, and he spits the blood out, and then Six lifts him up.
Yeah, like a puppet.
And he was walking like he was a puppet. Have you noticed that the fact that Saul did go to her, I thought was very interesting, because he was asking her sort of very meaning of life type questions to her, and she's always sort of been the preachy one, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. And I thought it was interesting he went to her and he didn't, like, you know, do some of this with Boomer. You know, it would have been easier for him to approach Boomer to ask her that.
I think in Saul's mind, Sharon is Sharon.
Yeah.
He more thinks of her as one of his Viper pilots or a member of his crew or a vital part of the Galactica. He still thinks of Six as just a plain old Cylon. Like, right. Even when he first went into the observation room with her today, he said, "How's it doing?" No, he doesn't. He doesn't call it her. He still calls it it. So I think that's why he would go to her with that information.
It was well written, and the dialogue was well done. It was good character development.
Yes.
Which is when BSG is at its best, as you know, these characters are moving forward towards something else. You know, although I have to say that the episode itself, like the overall arc of this one, felt like a padding episode.
I don't know. I think the fact that you finally get to sort of see Chief sort of make the turn when he was talking about how Callie, you know, he shouldn't have ended up with her, but because when he got dealt, and she smelled like cabbage, and I mean that was a Cylon. That's how they talk about us, you know, how they talk about the humans.
That scene was just brutal. I mean, the dialogue and his little rant there about Callie was disturbing. When he was talking, he said some line, and then they cut to this person in the background giving them look like, oh crap, Adama's gonna do something to you, buddy.
Oh yeah, I thought Adama was gonna punch him. I really did.
I mean, and you could, the best part about it was that you could see Adama trying to calm him down, trying to like get a hold of the situation before it got out of hand. Mm-hmm. You know, uh-huh. he totally didn't want the Chief to wreck himself. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't want to have to be put into the situation of I'm gonna have to do something here. He just kept going, and then he pushed him into a corner, and he relieved him. And it was one of the best dramatic moments, I think, in the series. I love how the way that almost plays it. Like sometimes he's like the stern father. You know, if something's gonna happen, you know, you don't mess with him. You just don't do it. And there's been other points in the series when that's happened before, like when Kara finally admitted that she was the one who killed Zach because she put him in the cockpit when he shouldn't have been there, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said to her, "Walk out of here while you still can."
Yep.
That scene was incredible. And he plays that part so well. I've said this stuff to the guys at work before, but it seems like Adama is the role that he was born to play.
Yeah, Lauren Green is truly dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you guys notice he directed this episode, too?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Oh.
You're right. You could tell Adama genuinely cares for all his pilots, and even at large, everyone on the ship. He really, really cares for them, and he really does act like a father figure. And
yeah,
that's one of the reasons I like that character so very much.
Oh, yeah. Even Kara, when she's at her worst, he tries to accommodate her. And it's only when he gets backed into a corner and he can't do anything else. You know, they don't give him any other choice, so he has to do what he has to do. And that's what makes him honorable and, you know, so loved by the fans, I think.
Hey, did you guys notice the very last scene after Baltar gave that great speech? There was a shot of Six standing next to Tori.
Tori, yeah.
And he looked at her. Yeah.
She looked at Tori and then looked back at Baltar. And then they quickly cut to Baltar's face and then cut to the credits. Do you think Baltar caught Six's glance and interpreted it the way I'm hoping he did.
I don't know. Six looks at a lot of people.
I think he's figured it out anyway, because at the start of the episode, mm-hmm. when she was getting all over him and stuff, and she pushed him down, he's like, "You're really strong."
Yeah, right. I only know one other person who's this strong.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, he's not dumb. He's like the smartest guy in the
and horny and perverted. Right?
I think there was another striking Jesus parallel between with Baltar this time around.
Oh yeah,
and it was when he showed up during the service and sort of trashed the place.
Right.
Now, it isn't a dead-on
reference,
but there's that story in the Bible. I even looked it up today just so I can talk about it tonight, where Jesus showed up in the temple and a bunch of shopkeepers and merchants had set up tables sort of inside the temple and were selling things. And Jesus became angry and overturned their tables and kicked them out and yelled and screamed and that type of thing. That's immediately the story I thought of when Baltar was interrupting that service. I mean, I know that they're really not the same story and that Jesus' reason for getting angry was different than Baltar's reason for getting angry, but I couldn't help but think of that.
Yeah, well, I think that's intentional, too. I mean, these guys, you can tell they read up on a little bit of everything to try to, you know, get it all worked in.
But I loved that speech at the end. For once, I didn't despise Baltar at the end of an episode. I liked him this time around.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like I was saying earlier, I think he actually believes his own line anymore. I think he believed every single word he was saying it as he said it, which is so typically not Baltar, because he'll have that little smirk and go, "Oh yes, totally, I'm totally with you, yeah." President Rosalind's hair has fallen out and she's wearing a bad wig now, because on TV that's how you have cancer, is you have a bad wig.
Yeah, she definitely looks ill. When we first saw her in the opening scene, she was sort of, you know, hunched over in her seat, and they made her skin look really white.
They're probably not just putting makeup on her.
Right, but to make her, who's obviously making an effort to help us believe that she's sick. So, I don't know. I'm afraid we might lose Rosalind before it's over.
Oh, yeah. We've said this before, that she's not going to make it. I fully expect her not to make it in Lee to take over the presidency.
But that doesn't mean she's not a Cylon.
Do you think she'll get to see Earth at least?
I doubt it.
As a Cylon, she will.
I don't think so. And note the last time we were talking about, too, for the previews, you know, we said in the previews they said all will be revealed.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, they did that again. I don't know if you watched the previews or not. I swore I wasn't going to watch them this time, but I figured you guys were going to talk about them, so I figured I should watch it. And one of my coworkers said we should put something in the podcast before we talk about next week's previews to let them know, to warn them, because they didn't watch
the previews.
They don't want to know. So,
okay, well, let's do rate the episode and a Death Watch update, and then we'll do previews.
Okay.
So they'll know exactly when to turn the volume all the way down.
As far as rating goes, I give this one 9 out of 10 toasters. It was pretty darn good. Character development was awesome. The little dialogue between Adama and Rosalind. No Kara. I can't stress that enough. It's so awesome to get her whiny little ass out of the picture for a bit.
Whiny, tattooed, sweaty ass.
Yes, a stinky garbage ass.
All right, Jen, what's your rating?
I wrote down 89 of 100 thumbs ups.
That's pretty close to perfect.
And you're perfect just the way you are.
What would have made it perfect for you?
I think maybe a little bit more action. See, I'm holding the Exodus episode as the perfect 10, or the perfect 100, I guess. This one had more emotional drama than action-packed thriller stuff. And I think if it would have had a little bit more action, it could have hit the 100. Gunfire. I want gunfire explosions is basically what I'm saying.
Isn't that the male view? I mean, you said last week when people died.
When they look so good.
I'll have to give it an A, and I'll just have to say it's not an A+. An A+ will be my highest rating ever.
Right.
And the only thing missing was...
What's about what I had? 89? That's an A, isn't it?
Yeah, an A9 is an A, depending on your...
9 out of 10, right?
Yeah. The only thing that was missing was a catastrophic space battle.
Right.
But so far, this is my favorite episode of this season.
Yeah, I think it was my favorite episode of the season as well.
Yeah, the scenes between Six and Ty were great. We got to see that Ty still has... He's just living with so much remorse and guilt over Ellen. To see Chief really lose it in the bar and, like we said earlier, Adama act like a loving father, even when he had to sort of discipline his boy a little bit.
And Tori is developing to be possibly the evilest Cylon ever.
Right. Yeah.
And which we need that, because right now there's no villain.
Yeah,
really.
All the Cylons are kind of wishy-washy,
right,
bickering amongst themselves.
There's no antagonist.
Maybe she's our Judas after all. Maybe she's not the 10th Cylon, but she's not at the table either on that picture, is she?
No, she's not at the table. So let's have a Death Pool update. No gain, no loss. Everyone's still alive.
Yep.
Racetrack almost died. That was a close call.
Yep.
And so did her co-pilot there.
So maybe we should bet on who's almost going to die next.
Who's going to die is one pool. Who's going to absorb the most vicious beating?
Who's going to be beat within an inch of their life?
Okay, I'll have to say Felix, because I just don't like him.
Well, we're going to talk about the previews now, so if you don't want to know...
Turn it down!
We discussed the previews for exactly 36 seconds, starting right now.
You didn't watch the previews?
No, because I watched the episode on Hulu tonight.
Oh.
So I'll defer to you guys for this conversation.
Oh. The previews were pretty unremarkable. You didn't miss much. The chief shaved his head. That was the thing I got the most out of the previews.
And we're back on the garbage scow.
Yeah.
And there's some kind of dissension. Leoben docks at the ship. Starbuck brings him on saying, he can help us. They want to find Earth too.
Yeah, so it seems like next week will be around 3 of 10 toasters, because it'll be a Kara episode. Just off the top of your head, what's your favorite episode of BSG?
Exodus. The one where the one where they jump into the atmosphere, then drop the fighters and jump out, and oh, that was incredible.
Was it the end of season 2 when Baltar sort of surrendered to the Cylons, and then he puts his head down on the desk? And then the next scene, he picks it up, and it says 1 year later, and they're sort of living under occupation on New Caprica.
You like that episode?
Yeah, because I was like, holy cow, we just jumped a year in a matter of seconds. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
Just confirms my theory that you're a freak.
Yeah, exactly. You're the only person I've heard to say like that.
My favorite is still 33.
Remind me what that one was.
The second episode, the one where they're attacking every 33 minutes, they don't sleep.
And oh, yeah, that's right. That is
the Olympic
carrier
gets, you know, is on a collision course with the Galactica, and they have to shoot it down. And that one and Hand of God, where they have to destroy the base and get the Tilium. Yeah. Speaking of writing, imagine what it would be like if you were the actress who played Tori. You know, you come in the second or the third season as just like the president's little, you know, assistant. You know, as a replacement for, you know...
For poor Billy.
For Billy, yeah. And
my last assistant got murdered. Ha ha ha.
Your part goes from being this, like, little secretary to being, like, the most central evil character in the series.
Yeah, to be probably the villain.
Right,
yeah, currently.
Exactly. I mean, for her, that's got to be, like, spectacular. She's got to be loving that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I have to say that you know, the old Battlestar Galactica, I really never really got into it, but I do love the opening narration for the original Battlestar Galactica. That bit with the tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians or the Toltecs or the Mayans, and then the music starts up, and they get, like, the shots of the ships flying by and the theme music. And that whole bit, that's the best part about that show.
There are those who believe that life here began out there, far across the universe, with tribes of humans who may have been the forefathers of the Egyptians, or the Toltecs, or the Mayans. Some believe that there may yet be brothers of man who even now fight to survive somewhere beyond the heavens.